You know, we finished a series in the Lord's Prayer, going through line by line last week. And so this week, you know, the thought was, we'll finish up the whole thing on prayer by just putting some action to it. We've been talking about prayer all summer, and today we have an opportunity to pray. And so I titled it Prayer in Action. And there are two quotes that came to my mind at the very beginning. And I didn't realize until after I put it together, but it's father-son. So the first quote is by Jack Miller. He's the dad. He wrote a daily devotional reading called Saving Grace. And he says this, "The call to prayer is the kingdom's supreme weapon. Don't underestimate its power. When two or three are gathered together to pray, the king is present." Isn't that amazing? Jesus tells us that in Matthew 18, but Jesus is here with us. He's always here with us when we gather to pray. And then as we think about prayer in action, how do we come? How do we come to pray? And I love this. Paul Miller, his son, wrote a book called A Praying Life. That's a fantastic book. You can get the audio. You can, you know, download it on Kindle or buy the hard copy or soft copy. But here's what he says. The criteria for coming to Jesus... What would you say the criteria for coming to Jesus is? Here's what he says. The criteria for coming to Jesus is weariness. It's weariness. Come overwhelmed with life. Come with your wandering mind. Come messy. What does it feel like to be weary? You have trouble concentrating. The problems of the day are like claws in your brain. You feel pummeled by life. What does heavy laden feel like? Same thing. You have so many problems, you don't even know where to start. You can't do life on your own anymore. Jesus wants you to come to him that way. Your weariness drives you to him. Don't try to get the prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. That's what little children do. They come as they are, runny noses and all. Like the disciples, they just say what is on their minds. Come overwhelmed with life. Come with a wandering mind. Come messy. Isn't that good? Because if you're like me, you struggle with prayer. We struggle with how to pray. We struggle with, is this bouncing off the ceiling? Is anybody out there? Is anybody hearing me? I don't know that I'm getting it right. You know, I'm trying to pray the Lord's Prayer and I'm getting the order wrong. Prayer is a relationship. The foundation of prayer is a relationship. It's not a ritual. It's not a religious activity. It is all about relationship, and it starts with relationship. And just a quick reference, Luke 18, I was trying to think of the how and the action of prayer, and Jesus tells this story between the Pharisee and the tax collector. He says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness," this is who Jesus was talking to, "some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else," Jesus told this parable. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this guy, this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.'" He's getting it done. "Thank you that I'm not like him." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He went home justified before God. He came and he said, "I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything good from God." And Jesus said, "He's justified, made perfectly righteous in God's sight." God doesn't see his sin, doesn't see his mess, doesn't see his junk. He sees a humble heart. So the number one requirement for effective prayer, the position that we're in is weariness, it's messiness, it's just being yourself. There's no order to it. Just express your heart. But the number one requirement for effective prayer is humility. A recognition of need and lack of ability to meet that need. That's humility. I need help. We've talked about it. There's two basic camps that we all fall into. One is I got it, or I need help. And I need help is the position of a humble prayer. It's what's required for prayer. That kind of humility that actually pleases God is, it actually comes from God. It's His gift. We can't generate it because in ourselves, we are self-righteous. We are naturally that way. We are naturally selfish. We're naturally prideful. I confess that every single day. We don't love. We don't do all the things that Jesus tells us to do. We break every commandment every day in our thought, word, or deeds. But the good news of the gospel is that in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our rebellion, God chose to set His love upon us. He didn't do it for everybody. We don't know why He didn't do it for everybody. We don't know who He's done it for, who He hasn't done it for. We have to treat everybody as if God wants to set His love on them. But we know that He set His love on us because we've experienced it. And like Dr. Martin was saying, I didn't deserve this. This kind person, Miss Myers, wants to pay for my entire education and pay for all these things. What did I do to deserve this? And then your natural response is gratitude. I mean, that in a nutshell is the gospel. I came across a verse, and I'll try to wrap it here. I'm squeezing my notes. But this was my verse this week. I had a rough week this week. I saw Mayor Hembree posted on Facebook, you had a rough week this week. Now, I quit drinking coffee on Wednesday, so that was a major contributing factor for me. In fact, I may not even be a Christian right now as I speak to you. I'm used to coffee and Jesus in the mornings, and then it just became Jesus, and I'm actually not sure that that's enough. But God gave me this verse this week, and I love this verse. And here's what He says. When I said, this is David in Psalm 94, when I said my foot is slipping, Your unfailing love supported me. When anxiety was great within me, Your consolation, I had to look that up. What is consolation? You know what it is? Consoling comfort. When anxiety was great within me, Your consoling comfort brought me joy. We are not alone. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who sees us. We have a God who knows us. We have a God who walks with us. We have a God who desires relationship with us. And so prayer is an exercise of faith. Faith comes from God. If we don't have faith, what do? We can't muster it up on our own. We say, God, I don't have faith. Or my faith is weak, or it's very little. My faith is very weak. I feel like I'm hanging on by my fingernails most days. God, give me faith. I can't manufacture it myself. Give me faith. And He will. He will do that, and He'll do it in a variety of different ways. Oftentimes, it comes through distress and difficulty, but sometimes it'll come through a kind word or an encouraging person or somebody being kind to us when we don't deserve it. He'll grow our faith. But prayer is an exercise of faith. God loves it when we pray because prayer opens the door to relationship with Him. It's a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. It's just like we would talk with our spouse or our kids or a neighbor. It's just a conversation. So prayer opens the door to relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, and it also opens the door to our Father being able to provide for our needs. We ask, and we give Him the opportunity to provide. It takes all the heat and all the pressure off of us, which we feel all the time. When we don't involve God, it's on us. And it's not supposed to be on us. He said, I am your Father. I've created you. I've created all things. I own everything. Everything that you have is mine anyway. Allow me to provide for you. And so we go to Him instead of trying to do it ourselves. But it gives Him that opportunity to provide. And then when we get the provision, we know it came from Him. And that's a huge blessing. And it allows Him to give us guidance in our lives. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do next week or the month after, or the week after, the month after, the year after. God, what do you want me to do? Brandon Hembree talked about, you know, just wanting to serve. Lord, where do you want me to be? God, my steps today. Who are the people that will cross my path? And we pray for that. Start in the morning. It doesn't have to be long. Just, you know, God, I'm here. I'm awake. Thank you for life. Lead me, guide me, direct my path. Help me not to see the people that cross my path as an inconvenience, but help me to see them as somebody that you sent my way to be a blessing. So prayer is an exercise of faith. So how do we connect to the hope and peace, security, purpose, freedom, and joy that God desires for us to have? How do we connect to faith? How do we connect to this life of relationship with a loving Heavenly Father through Christ? And I love this verse. I've referenced it multiple times previously, but in John 6:21, they were asking Jesus the same question. What is the work of God? What do you want us to do? That's what we want to know. And religion gives you a to-do list. Here's what you do for God to love you. Jesus said, he didn't give them a to-do list. He did it. And then he gave us the credit for it. But his answer to them was, the work of God is this. And they all had their tablets out. What do I got to do to earn your favor? He said, just believe in the one that he sent. Just believe in the one that he sent. I think if I had to summarize the entire message that God has for us in the Bible into two words, what his desire, what he's trying to communicate to us in the entire course of Scripture, it's just this: trust me. Trust me. I love you. I created you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I have uniquely designed you and wired you and given you gifts and passions and abilities and people in your life. I have a plan laid out for you that's going to not only give you great joy because of the fruitfulness that you're going to see, but it's going to give you joy because of the experience of being able to enter into my work. And Mayor Hembree and Dr. Martin both expressed that in their lives, the joy that they've experienced being put in these places of leadership that God brought them. So we believe, and the good news is that all we do, we believe. We just submit ourselves, we surrender ourselves to Jesus, and he does all the rest. He gives us the heart for what we need to do. He gives us the strength for what we need to do. He gives us the courage for what we need to do. He makes our hearts alive. And he gives us his spirit. So he changes the motivations of our hearts. He changes the affections of our hearts. He does all of it. And then our lives become lives of just gratitude. We're not living life to earn God's favor. We're living life because we already have God's favor because of what Christ has done. That's good news for us today. So let me pray and we'll transition. Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you that you've loved us. Thank you that you have sent your son to accomplish the to-do list. There is a to-do list. You gave commands, and they are to be kept in order to earn righteousness and favor with you. But we can't keep them. We don't even want to keep them, and you're aware of that. And so Jesus came, and he kept the law in a perfect way. And then he gave us, at the cross, he took our sin, and when he was resurrected, he took the righteousness, the gold medal of righteousness that he earned, he gave to us, totally undeservedly. And our mouths drop open and say, God, why would you be so favorable towards me? I don't deserve it. Lord, let our hearts be filled with gratitude wherever we are. Move us closer in relationship with you. Move us further along to recognize and experience that great love that you've given us. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.